chapter 19. Encourage you to turn with me there. This scripture will be up on the screen, but again, I always want to encourage you to bring your own Bible. You can take notes. You can make sure that I'm staying on track. Let's just turn to God's Word and see what He's speaking to us this morning. It said, Isaiah chapter 19, starting with verse 1. It says, "An oracle concerning Egypt. See, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and is coming to Egypt. The idols of Egypt tremble before Him, and the hearts of the Egyptians melt within Him. I will stir up Egyptian against Egyptian. Brother will fight against brother. Neighbor against neighbor. City against city. Kingdom against kingdom. The Egyptians will lose heart. I will bring their plans to nothing. They consult the idols and the spirits of the dead, the mediums and the spiritists. I will hand the Egyptians over to the power of a cruel master, and a fierce king will rule over them, declares the Lord Almighty. The waters of the river will dry up, and the riverbed will be parched and dry. The canals will stink. The streams of Egypt will dwindle and dry up. The reeds and rushes will wither. Also the plants along the Nile, at the mouth of the river. Every sown field along the Nile will become parched, will blow away and be no more. The fishermen will groan and lament, all who cast hooks into the Nile. Those who throw nets on the water will pine away. Those who work with comb flax will despair, and weavers of fine linen will lose hope. The workers in cloth will be dejected, and all the wage earners will be sick at heart. The officials of Zoan are nothing but fools. The wise counselors of the Pharaoh give senseless advice. How can you say to Pharaoh, 'I am one of the wise men, a disciple of the ancient kings'? Where are your wise men now? Let them show you and make known what the Lord Almighty has planned against Egypt. The officials of Zoan have become fools. The leaders of Memphis are deceived. The cornerstones of her peoples have led Egypt astray. The Lord has poured into them a spirit of dizziness. They make Egypt stagger in all that she does, as a drunkard staggers around in his vomit. There is nothing Egypt can do. Head or tail, palm branch reed. In that day, the Egyptian will be like the women. They will shudder with fear at the uplifted hand that the Lord Almighty raises against them. And the land of Judah will bring terror to the Egyptians. Everyone to whom Judah has mentioned will be terrified because of what the Lord Almighty is planning against them. In that day, five cities in Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord Almighty. One of them will be called the City of Destruction. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt and a monument to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and a witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt. When they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors, He will send them a Savior and Defender, and He will rescue them. So the Lord will make Himself known to the Egyptians, and in that day, they will acknowledge the Lord. They will worship with sacrifices and grain offering, and they will make vows to the Lord and keep them. The Lord will strike Egypt with a plague. He will strike them and heal them. They will turn to the Lord, and He will respond to their plea and heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt, and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and Assyrians will worship together. In that day, Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth. The Lord Almighty will bless them. Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, Israel, my inheritance." Let's pray. Father God, we do come before You this morning. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that as I come to preach Your Word this morning, Your anointing would be upon me, that I would speak out of the infilling and overflow of Your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that Your Word would be lifted up here, and Your people encouraged and blessed. Father, we seek Your presence. We seek to know You more, and we seek to follow You better. Be present and lead now. In Jesus' name, amen. Kind of a long passage, chapter 19. So, you know, why are you taking it in such one big chunk? Because it's actually 18, 19, and 20 are really all kind of one thing, but that's just way too much to try to take in one big chunk. But we are so important to take things in context. We need to see what's the bigger picture here. And again, it's all about timing. The Lord's timing, when things happen. Things go on at particular times and places. It was in the news this week about this Harold Camping, false prophet, who was saying the end is at hand that day. He got a lot of press time. There's a lot of people that are making fun of Christianity and the teachings because of what he said. But we need to remember that what we're told in Scripture is that there will be false prophets. That there are people who are going to say, he's over here, he's over there. That's going to happen in the last days. You know, in Matthew 24:36, it tells us clearly, nobody knows the day or the hour. Yet this man did this. He said, this is the day, this is the time. I had some people ask me on Facebook, you know, Bruce, is it really going to happen? I said, the rapture is going to happen. Jesus is going to come again. But is it going to come when this man said it is? That's the one time I can tell you when it's not going to happen. So, what does this have to do with the passage that we read today? Verse 1 of chapter 19. An oracle concerning Egypt. See, the Lord rides on a swift cloud. And is coming to Egypt. This Lord riding on a swift cloud. This is the imagery that we have that's associated with the rapture. Jesus coming on the cloud. Us meeting Him up in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4, you know, verse 17 is talking about we're going to meet Him in the clouds. We go to Revelation, and it talks about Jesus coming in the clouds when He comes again. We have the stories in Exodus. How did God manifest His presence before the people of Israel as He led them through the wilderness by a pillar of cloud during the day, or cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night? This is God, the cloud metaphor, and His coming presence there. So when is it going to happen? It's going to happen in that day, the day of judgment. When is it? Well, Scripture tells us clearly that it will be after the world has heard the good news. Just a couple weeks ago, I preached on the Great Commission passage. That's why God gave us the Great Commission, to take the good news to everyone. And when everyone has heard, then He's going to come. What we see here is that Egypt and Assyria, two of the worst enemies Israel ever had, and yet from time to time also friends, but yet nations that were known for their paganism, Assyria in particular, for just how absolutely vicious and ruthless they were. But Egypt, for all their gods, the river Nile was the greatest god in Egypt, you know, other than the sun god. And here we see the destruction of them both in this. And instead we see the we see the Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty is the one who comes to the fore. That those who were arrogant, haughty in their arrogance, prideful, these powerful nations, they're laid low. They have judgment come against them. Discipline. What's discipline? God's coming hand and power, an attempt to show the wrong so that we would turn and do what's right. That's what's going on there. And then these two nations, actually we see them in the end of here of chapter 19, being blessed and recognized as being part of the very people of God. That salvation wasn't just for the Israelites. Wasn't just for Israel. God's inheritance. But we have, blessed be Egypt, my people. My people is also the how God refers to Egypt or to Israel. Israel, my people. Assyria is referred to as, blessed be Assyria, my handiwork. Again, what we're seeing is the very lordship, that the Lord is almighty. He is over all. There is no country that's not under Him, that all will come to know Him in that day. 6 times in this passage, we have the phrase "in that day" used. Now, Isaiah uses "in that day" 42 times, which is literally half the times the phrase is used in the entirety of the Old Testament. So Isaiah uses half of it, and he uses 6 of those 42 in this one chapter. Now, normally that'd be a lot. You'd say, well, you know, there aren't that many chapters in most of the books, but Isaiah, how many was he got? 62 chapters going here? What? 63. Well, that's why I got you out there. Bring your Bible. Oh, I see Isaiah 64. Okay. We're both 65, too. Is there a 66? I don't think so. I'm going to check one more time. Is there? Yes, there is. 66:24 is the very end. My page stuck together. Okay. 66 chapters. That's less than once per chapter. But yet we find 6 of them right here. Right here, in that day. In that day, 5 cities in Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord Almighty. One of them will be called City of Destruction. This could well be a play on words, because the City of Destruction, you know, the name in Hebrew kind of plays off the Egyptian name for the city of the sun god. And it, and that, so the sun god and the river god, we see they're both fallen, and the Lord Almighty is the one who's having authority over it, the Almighty. He has taken this people who was all haughty, all full of themselves, all prideful. Okay? The sin of pride. And then he brings his hand of judgment against them, of discipline. We see fishermen groaning and lamenting. You see, those who are workers, they are, let's see, they're lamenting, they're pining away, they're despairing, they're losing hope, they're dejected, they're sick at heart. Those people who earn their living by the work of their hands, they're fine. These are people who aren't normally, they're really hard to push down, but yet we find that they're dejected. They're normally resilient, you knew a farmer, you know, there's somebody who is indeed resilient, a fisherman. Is there anybody else who goes out with more hope? Many a time I've gone out with lots of hope to get nothing, but I go again. But they're not even going with hope. They don't have hope. They're dejected. They're despaired. They groan and lament. They pine away. See, God brought difficulties against them because they weren't following Him. Not just to be mean. Not because He's a mean, angry God and He wants to beat them up. But because He wants to grab their attention and say, no, you are not in charge. You need me to help you through this. Now the amazing, amazing, amazing thing that's going on here is that the people that God is, whose hearts we're seeing here trying to turn and being turned aren't the people of Israel. We're talking Egypt. The captives of Israel. Or the captors of Israel. Get my right word out there. The captors of Israel. They're the ones who enslaved them as a people. They're the ones whose gods corrupted God's people. They took that back. Moses had all sorts of grief with them. You know, he goes out for, you know, just a 30-day visit with God up in the mountains. You know, everything's good now. Just be back. I'll be back. Comes back, and what are they doing? They've made a calf. They got a whole new idol. They're dancing and worshiping a false god made of their own hands. That's the blessing that Israel gives or received from Egypt. False gods. And God, instead of just saying, Egypt, you're bad, I'm going to wipe you from the face of the earth because you've done nasty things to my people. He now refers to them as Egypt, my people. God promised through Abraham. God promised to Abraham that He would use him, Abraham, to bring blessing to the whole world, not just to Abraham's own physical descendants, but also to his spiritual descendants, to all who would hear and receive God's word. We see that in that day of judgment, in that day when Christ returns, we're going to see that this is true. That people of Egypt, Assyria, those who we recognize as being the worst of the worst, God will turn their hearts. Some of them. And they will be the work of His hands. He will have crafted a nation that follows Him. From this nation of arrogant worshipers of gods who they've created with their own hands. Egypt. They worship the sun, the stars, the Nile. They worshiped Pharaoh. The Assyrians, they worship stuff that they created with their own hands. They got down and they, you know, carved a little statue saying, here's my God. worshiped their own king too. And God is going to work in them, in the work of His hands. His handiwork will be those who we recognize now as the most evil. It boggles the mind, the depths of God's mercy and grace here. What He's showing, what Isaiah is prophesying, and people, we're seeing today, and we will see in full fruition on that day of judgment, where we will all see Christ coming on a cloud. See, the discipline of the Lord will bring the lost to repentance. And He will heal them. He will heal them of their earthly ills. But more importantly, He will heal them of their spiritual brokenness with Him. This is an amazing chapter. An amazing chapter in Isaiah. An amazing word to us. This is written roughly over 2,600 years ago. I don't know about you, but that's a long time. But yet what it's talking about is dead on with what we see happening in our world today. We see God moving in His hand, in His power, and bringing these things about. God's church is growing. It is going to these places. It's never been gone before. Beginning of the month, we had Great Commission Sunday. We passed out envelopes and asked you to pray and ask what's the Lord putting on your heart to give. Now, next week I'll go to council. Next Sunday, I won't be here. I will be, at this time, attending the General Council worship service on Sunday morning. And we'll give I will give the offering that you all have turned in to this point. What comes in today on that? You already received the envelopes. Hopefully you've prayed and you've given. See, the Lord is the Almighty. What looked impossible to man is possible with God. And we're doing this in preparation of that day, the day of judgment. When God returns, we, the church, are to have done the work to take the gospel to the whole world so that those who have heard will have had opportunity to repent and they can receive Jesus when He comes as their Lord and Savior, and not the one bringing judgment to them. Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. Let's remember that it's God's will that we're talking here. It means it's going to happen. Now the question is, are we going to be part of it or not? What's our part? To pray. To give. To go. To be obedient to God's call for each of our lives. He's called each of us in our specific places to be a light for Christ where we are. Of all who we meet. So might we continue to do so, so that those who are haughty and now experiencing helplessness as God is bringing judgment against them, so that in that discipline, in that judgment, they might turn to Him and receive hope. They don't need to be hopeless. For there is hope. It was terribly distressing to find that there were groups out there of atheists in various sects who had parties to celebrate. Hey, the rapture's coming! And we're just going to party hardy and hope that all the Christians leave. Yeah. And they're like, oh, too sad. They didn't go. They're all a bunch of fools. The fact of the matter is, they're the fools for listening to false prophets and giving them any attention whatsoever. But we need to listen to the true prophet, to the true word of God, and recognize it is coming. And I'll tell you what, I don't know the day or the hour, but I do know it's a whole lot closer today than it was yesterday. And as I look around the world, I see many workers in despair. I see government officials giving wisdom that is actually just foolishness. We see people in high places, in very powerful positions, being laid low in their sin, arrested, for facing prosecution. For living ungodly lives. God is bringing the day. It's our job to make sure that we and the world are ready for it when it gets here. May we help those who are haughty and proud now or used to be deal with God's judgment when they receive it, when they receive the discipline of God, when they receive God's hand come against them. Might they hear or have heard God's word so that in their, when they are hopeless, when they recognize that they are lost without God, might they hear God's word and receive hope. Because God's blessing of the good news is not just for, you know, we few and no more. It's not about just, it's we're to take it to everyone and it, those whom we think least deserve it. It's for them too. Might we be faithful in taking it to them, so that God might indeed call them His blessed people and His handiwork. And might He indeed call us, refer to us too as His inheritance. So He sealed us as such. You see in Ephesians chapter 1. Now Lord, we come before You in prayer and we thank You for Your word. We ask, Lord, that You would show us how we can be part of taking the gospel to the world. How we can be part of lifting Your name up. So that when the proud come against Your judgment, Lord, and are brought to helplessness and hopelessness, they might receive the hope that is in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.